picture you upon my knee. T for two and two for tea. Me for you and you for me alone.
It's the JD Cymru South podcast. It's tea for two, or tea for four, actually, as me and Jonah are joined by Nathan Cadet and Nick Davis from the FAW. And we are here to talk a little bit about the Cymru South, but I did promise we would look at the other sides that may be knocking on the door to come up next season. And Nathan's the man who we'll talk to about that, and obviously speak about what's happening at Bridgend Street at the moment. But that's a lovely English breakfast, Jonah.
Yes, you know, a bit of quality. Come to Cardiff for a quality cup of tea and you're always guaranteed one in the yard.
Yeah, you know, we should get them sponsoring this, shouldn't we, actually? We are at the yard in Cardiff, or as it's known, my Cardiff office.
Yeah, but they couldn't afford to sponsor your beer, mate.
They go bankrupt. Mr. Brains would go bankrupt. Well, let's turn to Nathan Cadet, a man who knows STM very well. We'll probably pick his brains about that in a second. But let's go down to your division. You're now at Bridgend Street, comfortably mid-table. Let's ask you a few questions about how you felt Bridgend Street have developed this season so far.
Okay, it's been a good season for us, a very good start. We had a very good start to the season. As I've said to the boys on a number of occasions when I first come in, took over the role, you know, it's been a bit of a transitional season for us. Our aim was to probably finish in the top six, and if we could push top three, then that would be brilliant. We had a good start. We've had a very good start to the season. Then we took a bit of a dip. We've got a lot of younger players in the squad, so, you know, maybe, you know, when you start to lose games, maybe confidence gets affected a little bit. But, we started turning the corner. We drew against Goitre the week before last, 2-2. And we just got our first win under our belt for about 4 or 5 games last week.
So, you've played against quite a few of the teams in that league so far. As it happens, the two teams were probably very firmly knocking on the door of going up to Cymru South. You haven't played because that Trevelyan game got called off because of the rain.
Yeah, the Trevelyan game got called off because of the rain. If you can, you can see how many points they've accumulated. They look like a very, very strong side. I think they've accumulated 48 points already, which is very strong. They'll do well. I think, in all honesty, I think they're already up, and I think this is it's theirs to lose, really.
Well, so the word on the street, even though you haven't played them, watch out for them. I mean, you'll have to play them soon, won't you?
Yes, we will. But I believe the rearranged fixture is for our last game of the season now, so I don't think we play them until the end of March. But I think I'd like to think we'll have turned the corner properly by the time we play them. So I think we need to, because they're a strong side, you know.
For those that don't know Trevelyan, Jonah, of course, at one time Lee Trundle was down there for a few weeks. He was helping with the coaching, and there was a thinking he might be with them permanently. But as Nathan said, there seems to be a bit of investment down there, and they really do seem like they want to go up into this league.
Yeah, definitely. They had a good league. They had a good season, brilliant season last year. I know Richard Ryan's worked hard down there. He's assembled a good group of players, and by now they are red hot favourites for promotion to the Cymru South. And like you said earlier on about continuity from the South to the Premier League, I'm sure Trevelyan would be a great addition to the Cymru South, especially if they got ambitions.
So we mentioned Risca. There is then a sort of three-way fight as we speak, Nathan, for that third space. We're talking Portalbert, we're talking Goitre of Gwent, and we're talking Garden Village. Now, thankfully, you have played some of those teams. Give us your feeling on those three.
Yeah, all of them very, very strong outfits. In my opinion, Port Talbot probably the strongest. I know, as Jonah raises his fist there.
Come on, Talbot.
They've got a. Obviously, everyone knows the tradition of Port Talbot, but they do have a very strong squad as well. They were the first team, I think. We played them away from home. They've got a very, very good following as well, as again Jonah will tell you. We played them away from home, in my opinion, because I said to you, as I said to you a little bit earlier, we've got a very young squad, and it was a little bit intimidating for them. I've got a young goalkeeper. It was a little bit intimidating for him. And, you know, fair play to him. When you go there, it is a cauldron. It's hard to pick up any points against Port Talbot. So I think, in my opinion, I think they'll be the ones that slide into third place, if not push for second. Because, in my opinion, again, I think Risker may, you know, I think they'll overtake Risker, in my opinion.
Always a good crowd down at the San Siro, Jonah. A very loyal following who, let's face it, need to be rewarded and should be rewarded for sticking with that club through a difficult period over the past couple of years. Me and you did Welsh Premier League podcasts at the start and Port Talbot were there, and they need to fight back, don't they?
I'd love to see them get promoted back. And you've got to be fair to them group of fans that, like we said, Nathan has noticed, everybody who played against them have noticed how loyal are them fans. They've had a couple of barren seasons, but they are out and out football fans. And the San Siro is one of the best places to go in Welsh football still. Got fantastic memories of it, and that's one of my, you know, hopes of the season, that the Blue Army do get up into the Cymru South.
Well, they should reach any sort of criteria, bearing in mind once upon a time they hosted Premier League football. Just coming back to you before I turn to Nick, Nathan, about Bridgend Street. You're on that upward trajectory again. Obviously, you've gone there with a desire to take that club as far as you can. What's the thinking in your mind about how close you are away from being a Cymru South side?
Well, as I said, I mean, when I first took the reins at the club, I was looking to finish in the top six, you know, if not push for the top, for a top three spot. At the moment, probably top three is out of our sight. But if we can finish in the top six with the players that we've got, most of them, homegrown talent as well, in the top six, I'll be well happy with that for this season. And then maybe next season, you know, depending on obviously ground criteria and how that looks, maybe we can push for the Cymru South then.
And how important is it that the Willows is in Splott and that you are part of that community?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, for example, when I was manager of STM and when I was assistant at STM, one of the sides I did hate going to, and it's the reason I took over at Bridgend Street, was because I used to hate going to the Willows because it's quite a small pitch. They do get, you know, there can be on occasion a really good crowd there, and it was just for me as STM manager and as an assistant manager, it was a horrible place to go. You know, it was a really horrible place to go, and you know, it does. That's why really when I took over at Bridgend Street, that's what I want to make, you know, as I was speaking earlier about Port Talbot, I want to make it a cauldron when teams come there. I want to make it as hard to play against. It's, you know, it is really important, the Willows. It's a nice, tight little pitch, and this we can make it hard for other sides to play against us there.
So let's turn back to the Cymru South and let's turn to STM Sports. Mm-hmm. Wonderful memories you'll have there. Great achievements over the years. It will not surprise you. It's some of the things they haven't achieved. What have they got in their locker to take them further?
First and foremost, quality players. Dale, I think Nana's obviously gone there now as well, Nana Barr. But they've got quality players there, the likes of Marcus Jones, who they've got, I think, from Barrytown. Joey Evans, who they brought in from Taswell. But they, along with that, they've got the Josh Grahams, and you know, these boys they're really good footballers. But what they do have there, and is a, you know, in my 2 years there, is a very, very, very good team spirit. You know, I don't think any of those boys get paid, which is, you know, you won't find that either. If, I think they're sitting fourth or fifth in the league there. So it's, you know, it's a very, very good team spirit is what drives them on, I think. But as I said, the quality there is, you know, the likes of Marcus's and the likes of Josh, the likes of, I think, Ben and Hammond. I think a lot of clubs in the Welsh Premier have looked at Ben as well. He's a very, very good centre forward. So they've got the quality, but also, as well as that, they've got that team spirit and togetherness that I think every team needs, in my opinion.
And when they made it to the Nathaniel MG final, how did you feel as somebody who was involved in that setup?
Well, I mean, obviously that season, the run up to it was nothing to do with myself. That's all to do with Dale and to do with Nana Bad as well. But yeah, it was good to see some of the boys, most of the boys, if I'm honest with you, because I think maybe there was one stroke two players that weren't there the season before when we got promoted, and I was assistant to Dale. So yeah, it was good. It was very pleasing for me to see a lot of the boys achieve that goal. And to be fair to them, they do deserve it, because they're a very, very good football inside. They play, they try to play football, and it's, you know, it's what I'm trying to take to Bridgend Street now. They play football. They try to play football the right way. You know, we've seen in the actual match itself, it was hard for them to do, because they're playing against a side that are maybe that little bit extra fitness, a little bit extra quality on the football. But you know, they did well. I don't think, you know, 3-0, is it 3-0, wasn't it? There was no disgrace, because they went then. I think they did themselves justice.
Jonah, we've talked about the players consistently in that team for STM, and the one thing we've touched on is that feeling of community. Is that an extra 3 points every week representing St Mellons?
It's absolutely massive. Like Nathan's just said then, Mark, when you take over the club, you try to build that spirit. And you know, at certain levels, at certain clubs, you have to do it without finance. And these boys who are doing it without any finance are working their absolute socks off. You've got to have something about you then to attract the player, to bring him to the club, to bring the best out of him. And you're doing it all on the strength of you to him then, and come and play for me. It's a much harder job, Mark.
Well, let's talk to the man who has to do all the paperwork for the Cymru South, well, a bit of it. Nick Davis from the FAW. What's it like in FAW Towers? What's the feeling about the league like?
It's been great, actually. I think, obviously, I've been outside the FAW before as a fan as well. And so looking at the Cymru South now, I think it's been a real step forward for the clubs in aiding the professionalism of the game at Tier 2 level. I think if you look back at the history books and have a look and see the promoted clubs from 2011 to 2015, only two clubs from the Cymru South ever, or Tier 2 as it was then, Welsh League 1, went up to the Cymru Prem. And so to now have six teams this year applying for Tier 1 in the Cymru South, I think shows that we are sort of starting to narrow the gap between Tier 2 and Tier 1. And so I think if we can continue in that vein now for future years to come by aiding clubs in their licensing process and helping them get towards that Tier 1 standard, then it can only help improve the game in Welsh football in South Wales.
You mentioned you come to it as a fan, and of course you have been involved in Ammanford, and what a revelation they've been. They're part of the success story of Cymru South, because they bring fans and they've generated a spirit, haven't they?
Yeah, obviously I was there before. This year they've taken without me, an absolute leap forward. So maybe I was holding them back, but I think they're demonstrating that you can challenge the conventional wisdom of what people think about Cymru football clubs or Cymru League's football clubs at this level. I think you can challenge the perception that it is the standard's not good enough by some people who would follow Swansea or Cardiff, and I think they're beginning to engage with the community in a way which is really special, and they're starting to build something by uniting town and team. And I think by doing that and by providing back to the community and giving them value beyond the football, they're beginning to earn their trust back in terms of attendances. They've tried some Friday attendances with their new floodlights, which, you know, they benefited from grant money to be able to invest in these facilities, which have certainly helped. But to see, you know, 1,200 at a Welsh Cup game against Carnarvon, that's special for any club. So I think especially to have that, you know, a town of 5,000 people, it's amazing, yeah.
How much of a boon has the likes of Lee Trundle and Andy Robinson been to the creation of the Cymru League? You know, we often talk of them as poster boys, and people talk of them as Ammanford poster boys. But, you know, do we hold that much stall in, if they weren't around, how more aware would people be of the Cymru South?
I think obviously they have an inevitable impact. You look at the Mundial video and the Scorio video that I've done the rounds when Trundle scored against Carmarthen. There were hundreds of thousands of views for that goal alone, which, you know, another Cymru Leagues player may not get that same impact. You know, take no, you know, credit away from any of the Cymru South players. There are goal scorers in the Cymru South who have far more goals than Lee Trundle at the moment. You know, you look at Mark Jones of Britton Ferry, you think he's already on 29 goals. It's only just turned February. So I think, yes, they're great for the image of the league, and shows that, you know, the reputation the league is beginning to garner, that we can attract those players and keep those players in the league for seasons. But I think it's our job as a league to be able to market our own players as marketable stars as well.
And as a man who does the paperwork, what's the organisation of the league been like? You know, what are the challenges been on that front?
obviously it's a change for clubs, and change is never easy to manage, especially when they've come from one organisation, the Welsh Football League, into the FAW. It's always going to be difficult for everyone. I think we've just got to be upfront with the clubs. You know, we're trying to improve the standards. We've got to look after Welsh football as a whole and protect the interests of Welsh football. And so there have been challenges. I think now we're beginning to see some change, and we're seeing, you know, the number of clubs applying for Tier 1, as I mentioned earlier, has gone up. It's a record number this year. The attendances, we're beginning to analyse the attendances, and we are asking a lot more of the clubs. But by putting in the licensing, we are protecting the sustainability of the clubs' future by ensuring they have a firmer foundation. And by doing that, we are beginning to see some progress being made by these clubs. I think always when you have change, people are going to object. But eventually, you know, if you can try to convince them of the benefits of what you're trying to do, and if you can demonstrate, you know, the positive stories you've seen this season with Britain Ferry rising up, Swansea Uni rising up from Tier 3, STM getting to Cup Final, I think you can begin to win them round if they do have any doubts.
Is that the way you sell the benefits out from the pitfalls? That there may be extra paperwork, but look at what these clubs have achieved at a high level?
Absolutely, yeah. You see, you know, STM getting to a Cup Final when they were in Tier 3 last year is absolutely amazing. You know, the opportunity for them to play against, you know, the team who was second in the Cymru Prem last year and beat Kilmarnock in the summer, and they kept a 3-0 in the League Cup. And, you know, you see the runs in the Welsh Cup. Everything that's about the Welsh Cup is about the magic of the underdog and the David and Goliath stories. But what we are trying to provide is these opportunities where these Tier 2 clubs can go up against the Davids and the Goliaths. We can create those stories, but they're having those opportunities, and they're showing, you know, with the extra work and support we're providing them, they actually can, you know, overcome their underdog status, and they are matching them.
Okay, let's look to the future. As you've already said, you're looking at Tier 2 licences, Tier 3 licences for next year. Just remind everybody, if they are currently a Welsh Football League 1 club and they want to get into the Cymru South, what are the criteria they must meet?
So there's a whole set of criteria on the pitch in terms of ground facilities. They need 100 seats for the first year, and then from the second year then they need to get to 250 seats. You know, there's a whole load of other criteria specifically with regards to hard standing and barriers, but I won't bore you with those details. And they need a manager with the UEFA B licence, essentially.
And the process starts now, so they're filling in their forms to send in to you to prove that they can do that. Is there any sort of financial criteria? Because I know at the Cymru Prem level, there's a bit more of a scrutiny about the books. Is there any scrutiny of the books at this level?
Clubs aren't in the Cymru Premier. Clubs are required to do audited accounts. We don't ask clubs to do this at Tier 2 level because we think we're quite... We recognise that the clubs aren't at that same level, so there is no criteria regards to financial audited accounts at the moment, no.
Okay, well, it'd be interesting to see how it goes. You've had an exciting season. We've all had an exciting season on the Cymru South podcast. It will continue, and we'll also keep an eye on those teams that we've just been talking about below us in terms of where they're going to end up. My thanks, of course, to Nick Davis, Nathan Cadet, and Jonah. He's only halfway through his tea, so I better leave him go now so he can finish the rest of it.